Freedom University has provided a tuition-free education to undocumented students and helped many young people apply to out-of-state colleges and universities. Joining us now to tell us more about Freedom U is its executive director, Dr. Emiko Soltis, and two of its students, Arisbeth Sanchez and Valentina Garcia. Ladies, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so glad all three of you are with us this morning. First, I want to hear from the students. Arisbeth and Valentina, tell us each a little bit about your backgrounds and how you came to be students at Freedom University.
So I'm Arisbeth, and a little bit more about my background. I'm from Mexico originally. My parents crossed over, well, it was my dad who crossed over first. It got their business closed, and it just got so bad that my dad had to leave. Something's wrong when, you know, you can't even work in your own country,
right,
and you have to leave to another country. My mom saw the tear in our family. My dad had been gone 4 years. And so she's like, you know, we can't take this. My sister didn't even have a memory of my dad. Like, when she asked, who's dad? Like, she just didn't know. It was
wow.
Like, foreign concept for her. And so she's like, you know, we can't live like this. We're not a family like this. And so that's when she decided to take me and my sister along to go see my dad, and that's why we're here.
And Valentina, you want to tell us a little bit about your background as well?
Yes. My name is Valentina Garcia, and I immigrated from Uruguay in South America. And we immigrated, my family immigrated mostly because the way my parents saw it, Uruguay wasn't very good for opportunities for our future. There were we knew that there weren't going to be many job opportunities and what we wanted to excel at. So my parents saw the United States like the promised land, like, you know, it's portrayed for many other immigrants. So we came to the United States with the hope that me and my brother would have the best education and the best chance at a future to get jobs. So we flew by plane, we overstayed our visas, and came here when I was six. So, and my brother came here when he was just turned three, so pretty much 2 years old. So this is all we've ever known. I'm the only one that can talk in Spanish back to my Uruguayan relatives, and even then I still don't remember anyone, really. My brother can't even talk because he doesn't know anyone at all. He was an infant, he was a toddler.
Right. So you both have been in Georgia for a really long time now.
Yeah, we've been here for 12 going on 13 years.
Wow.
Our whole life. This has been our whole life.
So this action that happened on January 9th sounds really incredible. I read that students posted a sign that said, desegregation happening here. So tell us about this action that happened on January 9th, this teach-in. What were you there to learn that day? And why is this education important to you guys?
So we had two amazing lecturers that day. One of them was Lonnie C. King, who is the founding chairman of the Atlanta Student Movement. And he talked about his experience as a chairman and his experience in the civil rights era. And he gave us tips that helped during his movement help ours. And we also, our second lecturer was Loretta Ross, and she's the co-founder of the Sister Song Women of Color Reproductive Justice Collective. And she talked about her personal stories and, I guess, with women's reproductive rights and even her encounters. She said she was too late for the civil rights era because she's, I think she was 15 during the civil rights era,
wow.
So she couldn't be involved. So she became more involved in the women's rights era. And even though there was an interconnection, even though she couldn't be able to be involved in the civil rights era, she talked about this personal story where she encountered a very deep discrimination in Mississippi. So, you know, it was still there.
So tell us, why is it important to you guys to learn these stories about what happened in these earlier times?
Well, for one, it's a huge inspiration learning from these people firsthand that they were there. They went through all of this discrimination, blatant racism, and for us it gives us the hope that maybe one day we can find a way to go to school, go to college for the fact that we are academically qualified, not for the fact that we don't have a series of number or a piece of paper. also getting these testaments from the people themselves, and for them giving us tips. It's like, I don't know, like a friend telling us, no, just cook this pie, you know, it's this recipe for hopefully for freedom, you, and for I don't know, for hope, really.
Yeah, I like that. A recipe for hope, a recipe for liberation. That's Arisbeth Sanchez and Valentina Garcia, two of the students from the Freedom University, Georgia. So we also have on the line Emiko, who is the executive director of Freedom U. So Emiko, can you tell us a little bit more about Freedom University? How did it get started?
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us. Unfortunately, Freedom U had to start because of the political situation in Georgia. We can go back decades, centuries, really, to explain, you know, the historical situations that led up to this ban. But most recently, in 2010, you know, the Georgia Board of Regents passed Policy 416, which, as you said, bans undocumented students from the state's top five public universities. But in doing so, it's important to understand that Georgia is just one of three states in total, including Alabama and South Carolina, to institute an admissions ban against undocumented students. So this isn't a normal thing, right? Three states exclusively in the Deep South have an admissions ban. But the Board of Regents also passed Policy 434, which bans undocumented students from in-state tuition rates to all public universities. But this is important to know that this isn't just like a little tuition policy, right? But because undocumented students are ineligible for any form of federal financial aid, this policy effectively bans them economically from nearly all institutions of higher education.
Wow.
And so because of these two bans together, you know, these policies are effectively ushering in, you know, a modern era of educational segregation in the South.
So I know that the spring semester has just gotten underway there at Freedom U. Tell our listeners a little bit about what, you know, what life looks like at Freedom U. What sorts of classes are offered there? Who the teachers are? Does it function like any other university?
First, let me say, I guess I didn't really fully answer your question before, but this is our fourth year of having classes. And it started because undocumented student mobilized, right?
Wow.
They found, yes, four really courageous all-women professors at the University of Georgia, but undocumented students were at the front of this from the very beginning. And the two groups, right, these undocumented students and these four professors founded Freedom University so it could be a safe place where undocumented students could continue their education. And they chose their name, Freedom University, Georgia, in order to honor the legacy of those Southern Freedom Schools during the Black Freedom Movement. And we also chose the name because the students realized that the new Freedom School had an acronym that never lost its humor. Right? FU Georgia.
FU Georgia. Yeah, I like that.
Here's Arisbeth. She's going to talk a little bit more about this spring semester.
Great, thanks.
Really excited about this class, about this semester. And so we have it separated into four separate blocks. And block one, we actually learn about freedom. We're the Freedom University singers now. We learn about freedom songs sung during the civil rights era. And it's taught by Professor Jewel Thompson. The second block is race, immigration, and incarceration in the United States. And so Professor Emiko Soltis and Professor Raul Diego Rivera Hernandez teach that class. And block three is debate and public speaking, which is done by Professor Ed Lee and Carol Davis. And for block four, it's college preparation. And so that's mostly like survival tips on how to survive college for students, because during the first semester, it was mostly about applications to colleges and stuff like that. And now it's how to survive through college. And that is taught by Maria Aragon and Lauren Johnson.
And also a little bit more about Freedom U and its classes. It, even though we don't get credits per se for the classes, we still get the college education that we are banned from. We have college-level classes with college-level readings with college professors. So it's not just a little get-together and let's just randomly learn about Mexico's drug on wars. No, we have intense discussions on it. We have our readings, and we have to keep up with them. And also, it's like a safe haven
It's a second home for us. We are very close to each other. We're a tight-knit community, and we're there for each other in various ways. If someone doesn't have the homework, we'll help them. If someone is stopped by the police, we'll help them. We'll come out. You know, it's something that transcends us. It's an education, but at the same time, it's kind of like we're standing up to Georgia. Again, it's an FU Georgia. And we're thirsty for knowledge. It's not like we're doing this for fun. We take time out of Sunday. Our teachers work, and they take their time out to volunteer to help us to further our education on Sundays from 2 to 6, and sometimes 7 if someone needs to help with a college interview or a job interview. So we are dedicated to our education. We really want a higher college-level education. It's not something we're demanding just because whatever. We deserve it.
Mm-hmm. Valentina and Arisbeth, I wanted to ask you how you've integrated into the community down there in Georgia. It sounds like you've done so rather successfully. You gave us some background about how you came to the area. What has been that experience like in working with and living with that community in Georgia?
So living undocumented is a very lonely experience, especially because you can't tell anybody about it. Like, that's something you do not talk about with anyone. And so you're just kind of dealing with it yourself and your family, and you have no guidance. It's just kind of walking around aimlessly in the dark. And so to finally find Freedom U and to find a community that wants to help you and wants you to succeed, let's just say it was very life-changing. It's something that I didn't expect.
Well, that's so great to hear. And, you know, I've read a little bit about Freedom U, that students go from these classes at Freedom U into other schools. And you talked about the college preparation and the interviews. And so are you two doing that as well? Are you applying to other schools? And where are you hoping to end up?
Yes. So we've got so much help. I'm so glad. We both applied to schools, and I know I applied to Emory, Dartmouth, Mount Holyoke, Smith College, and Amherst College, and Agnes Scott College, and I think my first choice right now is Dartmouth.
Cool.
It's also with Freedom University, even though, like I said, it's not like, you know, your technical university. It's helped around 1 in 5 students from Freedom University to transition to a college, to a university. So that's amazing.
On a full scholarship.
Yeah, on a full scholarship.
Wow.
And that's amazing in and of itself. And I applied to 8 colleges, pretty much the same as Arisbeth, except not Agnes Scott, but Williams College. And my first choice right now is between Dartmouth and Smith, but we'll see how that goes.
All right.
What Freedom University did last semester, it really buckled down on us for college preparation, which I personally really needed that fire under my butt, because living in Georgia, undocumented, I lost hope completely my senior year. And I thought, you know, I can't go to UGA. I can't go to these schools that I really thought I belonged in. So I'm just going to settle for community college. And there's nothing wrong with community college. But I knew that I could do so much more. So going into Freedom University, they really showed me what I was worth, if that makes sense.
Like, absolutely.
I got inspired by a Freedom U alumni, Melissa Padilla Vang, and she goes to Dartmouth. And I saw that she went to Dartmouth. And in my head, I said, you know, if she then I can too. I can totally, like, what do I have to lose?
Sure.
No, that's fine. There's totally different other universities that might want me.
Right. Well, I think it was Emiko, you mentioned this about undocumented students. They were the ones who really mobilized. I think that was you that said that, Emiko. What about the other students in the surrounding area there? I'm interested in, you know, what their reactions are to these students at Freedom U becoming, you know, going to this school with free tuition and being them mobilizing mm-hmm. themselves. Did the other students look at this and say, wow, you know, we could learn from them?
Are you talking about documented students?
Yes, documented students, yes.
Well, as a part of our action, in addition to there being 20 undocumented students in the UGA classroom, there were more than 30 documented student outlets.
I see.
Right? And so what's really beautiful is out of Freedom University, we haven't only transformed the lives of undocumented students, but we're really working with documented students to see mm-hmm. that their status, their immigration status, is actually a part of their identity and their mm-hmm. history, right? And so out of Freedom U has also come documented student ally organizations. So at the University of Georgia, there's a group called the Undocumented Student Alliance, USA. And at Emory, there's something called the Freedom at Emory Initiative, which just started this past September. Mm. And both organizations seek to put pressure on their respective universities in their capacity and their power as documented students enrolled at those universities. And I think that this is really powerful to have, you know, documented students, you know, fighting for their undocumented student allies. And I think that this is probably how this ban, which will be lifted, it's just a matter of time, will happen. Because the Georgia Board of Regents positioned themselves in instituting these bans as pretending to advocate on behalf of documented students. Mm. You know, they said, these undocumented students are taking away your spot.
Right.
To be pissed. Right? But these documented students said, no, you know, they went to kindergarten through 12th grade with us in Georgia public schools. They are just as qualified as we are to attend college. And having diverse perspectives in our classrooms benefits everybody.
Yeah, good for them.
Wow.
Diverse experiences, speak multiple languages, and you know, just have walked on this earth with different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And this shows the agency and power of, you know, documented students as allies as well.
It's so great. It's just such an inspiring story and an inspiring project. So, Emiko, as the director of this, I wonder what you hope comes from this project. What's the sort of outcome that happens from Freedom U? Obviously, on a sort of year-to-year basis, there are the students who move on into other higher education. But are there implications beyond Georgia and, for example, for the new civil rights movement that's emerging around the country? You know, perhaps most broadly, how can we bring together the struggles for the rights of undocumented folks together with the struggles around ending police brutality and anti-Black discrimination and violence? How do you see these things coming together? And is that something Freedom U is really working on?
Christy, that's an immense but important question. I think immediately, you know, our goal is to transform the lives of our students.
Yeah.
Lift the ban to not only end the discrimination against them, but really the thousands of undocumented students and young people in Georgia. You know, it's estimated that 3,000 graduate high school every year in Georgia.
Mm.
But, you know, in addition to that, we're, again, growing those documented and undocumented student alliances. And I think in the long term, by giving students, you know, both undocumented and documented experience in social justice activism,
mm-hmm.
we're also strengthening student movements more generally, right? And politicizing a whole group of young people who can carry on, you know, the hard long-term social justice work. And in terms of implications beyond Georgia, right, I think it's important to note that undocumented students are really using a human rights framework, not a civil rights framework, right?
Mm.
And that's important because to distinguish between human rights and civil rights, because civil rights is just one of five pillars of rights, right? There's political, civil, economic, social, and cultural rights.
Right.
And human rights means that you have them by virtue of your humanity. It doesn't matter which side of a man-made border you are born into, right? It can't be taken away, regardless of a border you cross, the language you speak, how old you are, right? And I think that's extremely powerful, and that's actually a really great way of connecting with other student groups in particular, right? And obviously, Atlanta has been a hotbed for beautiful actions for the Black Lives Matter movement. I can say personally that undocumented students are right on the front lines with them at these actions, painting banners together, right? But the organizing isn't based on this idea necessarily that they are the same, right? They recognize their differences.
Right.
But there's power in that, right? That both groups, undocumented immigrants and Black youth, have historically been treated as cheap labor, right? For example, DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, for undocumented students. You know, the government expects them to be grateful, and they are, right? But in places like Georgia, this has created a system in which undocumented students can get a driver's license and work in a low-wage job, but still can't go to college and still can't vote, right? So this essentially streamlines them into low-wage work for the rest of their lives, right? And they call it the new Juan Crow in the South, right? And so I think recognizing these shared histories, even though they're different in content, kind of have a similar purpose, right? And I think in terms of building solidarity with Black youth, you know, they realize that the connection isn't just a historical one. And a little footnote, it's important to note that the same five universities that ban undocumented students today also banned Black students 55 years ago.
Yeah.
So there's a direct connection in this segregation in higher ed. But today, I think they recognize that they can harness the power of interracial coalitions by, again, not organizing around a false idea that they're the same, but recognizing their intersecting forms of oppression. And I think in Black and Brown communities, they can organize around their shared experiences of criminalization, right? Especially in this so-called post-racial society. And to quote from, you know, just yesterday's class, right, we're reading two books in the race, immigration, and incarceration class this semester. One is Undocumented by Aviva Chomsky and The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. And Chomsky says that although on the surface the system is colorblind, in fact it targets people of color. But it works better in the supposedly post-racial age because it never uses race directly to discriminate. Instead, it criminalizes people of color and then it discriminates on the basis of their criminal status. And everyone, all the students, had highlighted that section and said, Aaron's best note said, mind blown, right? they know this based on their experiences, but to be able to put it in words and understand that historical connection, but also modern connection with their, you know, Black student allies.
That's so great. So Amika Soltis, Executive Director of Freedom University Georgia, how can our listeners find out more and support the work that you're doing down there?
Of course. Well, by virtual means, you can visit our website, which is freedomuniversitygeorgia.com. We also have a very active Facebook page, and it's freedomu.georgia. And also our Twitter account is aptly named FU_Georgia.
That's great.
But if you guys, anyone's in Atlanta, you know, reach out to us via our website. We would love to have people join us at future rallies, come visit class. I'm going to really stand in solidarity with undocumented young people who are leading this fight for human rights in the U.S.
That's so great. Thanks so much. That is Amika Soltis, Executive Director of Freedom University Georgia, also on the line this morning. Two of the students at that university, Arisbeth Sanchez and Valentina Garcia. Thank you. Thank all three of you so much for being with us this morning. This has been so great.
Of course.
Thank you.